And now our regular guest, Joan Lewis, is back to take a look at what's been going on here in the Vatican over the past 7 days. Joan, welcome back to our studios. Good to have you with us again.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, and there's been a lot going on here, not just in the Vatican, in fact, because this week Pope Benedict actually made a pastoral visit, didn't he, outside the Vatican to Italy's Abruzzo region, so devastated by that earthquake a few weeks ago.
Well, you know, and it's really funny. He went on Tuesday of this week, and it was just a miserable day weather-wise. The plans had to be changed. He was to go by helicopter, and then he had to go by car. Fortunately, of course, it's not that far. It's 60 miles or so. However, he was able to actually see the conditions in which these people live, too, because they are, we're talking about Abruzzo, we're talking about an area very high in the mountain towns where right now it's very cold and everything else, the high altitude. So the rain, the mud, the desolation, the tent cities, the ruined buildings, the lost lives.
But of course, this all made it more real for
him, seeing
experienced what these survivors are going through. Yes.
And the rector of the Basilica Colle Maggio in Aquila was reported as saying that the Pope said to him, you know, I had absolutely no idea. This is far worse than I even imagined just from looking at it on television. And you and I know, anybody listening to us knows, that hearing about an event, seeing a picture, even if it is a television, is vastly different from being there. I don't care if you're talking about an earthquake area or being at a football game or something. It's just different.
And he was able to speak with many of the survivors, wasn't he? Those who lost their families, friends.
His remarks were actually, because he spoke on two different occasions, his remarks were actually fairly brief considering he really wanted to talk to the people, to be there, to embrace them. He held little children. He embraced senior citizens. He gave them consolation. You really had a feeling of the Holy Father feeling their anguish. And he had very beautiful words to say about the people who died. You know, and he said they're now living with God. And they want you to have hope. They want you to rebuild your towns where you're living. He had very, very beautiful words, not only the prepared ones, but basically what he was reported as saying in conversations and off the cuff. So
he visited L'Aquila. He also visited the town of Onna, or the village of Onna, which was
almost a hamlet, exactly. And there are only 350 people in Onna, and 40 of them died, so you have well over 10% of the populace dying. And, I mean, the Pope fully realized these people not only lost loved ones, which that's totally irreplaceable, not only lost loved ones, family members and friends, but possessions, which he said, you know, a lifetime of building this up, and it's gone in an instant. So he realized the depth of the pain and the depth of the suffering. And he himself, I'm sure, had to feel the cold, and he saw the mud and he saw the rubble. He did go to the church. He went to the Basilica in Colle Maggio, which is very interesting. A good portion of that basilica was destroyed. And yet what remained intact, and it's stunning when you look at it, was the crystal, lead glass casket of
Pope Celestine.
Oh, Pope Celestine V, right. Anyway, he donated the pallium that he wore the day he became Pope in 2005. He donated the pallium and laid that on top. He didn't. Someone else did, because they didn't want him to go inside the church, really, because it hadn't been proclaimed safe yet, and there was scaffolding in various parts.
But there is a lot of hope that his visit will give hope for the present, but also insist and underline the importance of rebuilding, reconstruction
exactly.
as soon as possible for these people.
And I believe some comments were made. One of the buildings, I don't remember if it was the student dormitory, but he did visit and talk to some students there who were just like totally reduced to tears by the Pope's visit. But one of the buildings was supposedly built, I've forgotten the year now, but with all the earthquake-proof things that a building's supposed to have, and it totally collapsed. So there are indications that even the Pope was interested in finding out, you know, why should this have happened? A building that's 400 years old, that's different. They didn't have earthquake-proof things to do in a building. So anyway, it was a very Wonderful trip. I think the people were certainly, they were affected by his visit as much as he was affected by going there. So,
moving back here to the Vatican now, there's been some interesting audiences, particularly for all our English listeners, of course, Prince Charles and his wife Camilla, the Duchess of Cornwall, here in the Vatican. It was an interesting meeting, wasn't it?
It really was. They were in Rome for a couple of days, 2 days, I believe it was, and they were going to Venice and after that continue a trip to Germany. And they met with the Holy Father, and what was very interesting, what the English papers noted, was that Prime Minister Brown has brought to the attention of Parliament the act that forbids a reigning monarch from marrying a Catholic, certainly forget a Catholic ever acceding to the throne. So the papers were, you know, wondering, I mean, did this come up? The official Vatican press office release said nothing, obviously, about this. Would the Pope have brought it up? I don't know. Would Prince Charles have brought it up? Who knows? But apparently the prince did talk to the Holy Father about ecology and a greener planet and preserving the planet. This is one of his great passions, and we know the Holy Father has spoken about taking care of God's creation on many, many instances. And so I'm sure it was a fascinating visit. And, you know, it's very interesting. The last time that Prince Charles met a Holy Father was John Paul II, and he was
back
with—
Back in 1985, he was right, with his first wife,
Princess Diana. And interestingly enough, his marriage to Camilla in 2005 had to be delayed by a day because he did come to Rome for Pope John Paul's funeral. And so they were to have been married that very day, and so their wedding took place the next day when he returned to Great Britain.
And
so,
there's speculation also in the papers about whether he reiterated Gordon Brown's invitation to the Pope to visit the United Kingdom.
Exactly.
A lot of interest in that.
Exactly. No, thank you for reminding me of that. And, you know, if the Holy Father said anything, yes, I'd be delighted. We have not heard that. So, you know, that remains to be seen.
Looking back at the regular events, Pope Benedict, of course, held his Wednesday general audience here in the Vatican, and he's continuing this fascinating series of reflections on some of the fathers of the Church, isn't he?
I have to tell you, I am fascinated by this because every week he brings up a name and I'm going, I've never heard of that person. I mean, I feel like I've obviously am not as steeped in church history and so forth, and certainly in a lot of these great figures as I should be. It's not that I knew about them and forgot. I don't think I knew about some of these people. And he did talk about Germanus, St. Germanus, who was a bishop and patriarch of Constantinople. And he noted Germanus's role in what he called the complex history of the battle for images during the so-called iconoclastic crisis. What was fascinating to me, if I can digress for a minute, a month or two ago when I was in Turkey on pilgrimage, we went to Göreme, which is in the Cappadocia region, and this is a whole series of hundreds and hundreds of caves in which the first Christians, the Christians lived. Many of the caves, one of them we said mass in, and one of the things our guide pointed out, it was one of like 400 caves that had been used as churches. Many of them beautifully, hugely decorated frescoes of people, of events, of biblical events, of Jesus and Mary. However, we had mass in a cave which did not have any figures because this cave was decorated in the iconoclast period. So you're talking 700s, 800s, 900s, when images were forbidden. And so that was a great part of the Pope's speech. And then actually the importance of images. When we got back to allowing images, because you had Emperor Leo III who put great pressure on people not to have religious images, saying it was idolatry. And then the Pope himself, Pope Benedict, came back and he said, you know, I mean, then we had Jesus who became man. And to help us think of Jesus, think of his mother, think of the saints, we do have paintings and images. But one of the more interesting events certainly was after the audience yesterday.
And a meeting with the Canadian Aboriginal First Nations,
yes,
communities and leaders.
And I really didn't know very much about that until I had read some reports prior to the general audience on Wednesday. I had read some reports about these groups, you know, coming. There was a communique from the Canadian side, and there was also one on the Vatican on what the Pope did say to these people. Now, why is this of concern? Just to tell you what the communique says. In the late 19th century, this is the Canadian communique, in the late 19th century, the federal government established residential schools for Canadian Aboriginal children. They were administered by Catholic and other Christian organizations and churches and financed by the Canadian government. An estimated 100,000 children were to have been in these schools. However, the people at the time who were teaching them wanted them to become more of a part of Canadian society, so they tried to really pressure them into learning all of the, you know, Canadian history and language and culture, and make their own
suppressing indigenous cultures,
their own to that. And in addition to this, it seems that there was, by various church people also, that there was some sexual abuse. So the press communique from the Vatican on the Pope's comments, he listened very attentively to these groups, to their stories, and to their concerns. And the Holy Father, you know, expressed his sorrow at the anguish caused by the deplorable conduct of some members of the church, and offered his sympathy and prayerful solidarity, and said acts of abuse cannot ever be tolerated in society.
So a very important moment for these communities and for the church in Canada.
Yes, indeed. And we had the bishop, we had the Canadians obviously from this group, and then we had
Bishop
Weisgerber, president of the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops. So a very important day, and I look at the clock and I think, oh my gosh, we have so many wonderful stories to talk about.
But we're going to have to leave it there again for this
week. I know.
We'll
it's really a shame. But
having you back again, and of course we'll be looking ahead at the Pope's visit to the Holy Land, Israel, Jordan, and Palestine. For the moment, thank you very much for being with us here in studio, Joan.
God bless.